Good evening, Saints, and welcome to the Gospel Light and Truth Hour, the only hour that brings you good, sound Bible doctrine and good, sound Bible teaching. For without sound doctrine and sound teaching, you cannot make good, sound decisions for yourself and your family. I'm your host, the Still Man, Tony Keaton.
This is From Rome to Christ. This is all about. You cannot go from Christ to Rome. It's impossible. I mean, there's no way. There's no way that once you are in Christ, you ever can go back to Rome. But that is what is happening today, if you are not aware. If you are not aware, today, Roman Catholics are not being evangelized. They are being amalgamated by many churches. They are not being converted. They are being invited to be one with everybody else. And third, Roman Catholics, they are not even being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are even claiming today they are being baptized of the Holy Spirit without even being saved. And that is what you hear and what you even watch in television. And this is making more difficult every day for one single Roman Catholic being saved. It becomes more difficult every day. And it will be more difficult as the days go by and the deceit is taking place by the apostasy of our days, the Roman Catholics can be converted. Because already those who we thought and we believe they were converted to the gospel and they were born again and they were creatures of God, under the disguise of the gospel, are telling the Roman Catholic that they are their brothers and their sister in Christ. Then Catholics are being more deceived than ever before. Not just those within Protestants and Pentecostals and ecumenical denominations, but in every other part of Christianity, those in apostasy already deceiving Catholics more than what they already has been deceived. I knew that myself, being a Jesuit priest.
Good evening, Saints. We welcome you back to another program, another installment of the Gospel Light and Truth Hour. Before we go further, I would like to go right now to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Today's program is extremely vital for Christians and also for Roman Catholics, and I will explain this shortly. But first, let us go to the Lord Jesus in prayer and get his blessing on today's teaching. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask in your name that you please be present with us through your Holy Spirit during this teaching, this time of discussion. Lord Jesus, as always, I ask humbly that you anoint my lips to say only those things that you would have me speak in your name. I also would ask that you would open the minds and the hearts of the listener, that he would receive this teaching in the spirit in which it is given. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would remove all obstacles from the listener's mind. Hinder Satan in his efforts to try to distract the listener. Hinder the spirit of Satan, Lord Jesus, which will try to keep this truth from penetrating into the listener's heart and mind where it needs to be. For this is vital information, as you well know, Lord Jesus. And so I ask that you would remove all obstacles from the listener being able to absorb this teaching. Hinder Satan in every way, Lord Jesus. Lay traps and snares before the enemy that he may fall into the pit which he has dug for the listener, that he not comprehend this teaching, Lord Jesus, and pave the way, straighten the path of the listener and pave the way to him having a new understanding and a new appreciation of the subject matter which we will deal with tonight. And I ask these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Saints, today's teaching is extremely vital. It regards the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary, which they purport, the Virgin Mary, they purport this Virgin Mary, which we know is an idol. It's not a real person. There's no place that you can go today and visit the Virgin Mary. If someone were to ask you, or if you were to ask a Roman Catholic, could you please see the Virgin Mary, the Roman Catholic would be obliged to point you to a statue. This is nothing but the truth. It's absolutely true. And there are millions upon millions of statues of the Virgin Mary in the world. Therefore, no thinking person could believe that the Virgin Mary is a real person, because with so many statues of the Virgin Mary, then they can't be one person. No one person can be everywhere at once. But you must understand that the Virgin Mary is worshipped everywhere at once. It's in some place in the world, all over the world. So Roman Catholics say that this Virgin Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ. But as you will soon see, there is so much said about the Virgin Mary that is not in the Bible that there is no possible way that the Virgin Mary could be the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is just no way this could be. Now, if you know anything about Roman Catholicism, then you know that it is based partly on the Bible, partly on the teachings of what they call the church fathers, such as Augustine, St. Francis of Assisi, Ligurni. Several people in the Roman Catholic Church are considered lights in the Roman Catholic Church, and these men and their writings are held as doctrine. As a matter of fact, the Holy Bible stands last. The writings of the Church Father come first. The traditions of the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, when he sits on the throne speaking ex cathedra, and last but not least is the Holy Bible. These in order, and they may not be in exactly that order. I may have something incorrect there, but those four sources are from whence the Roman Catholic Church gets their doctrine, and the Holy Bible comes in dead last. Dead last, folks, and it would have to be. It would have to come in last, because if it came in first, then it would overrule any and all other authorities, because the Bible claims to be the only authority, the Word of God. So if the Bible were first and Roman Catholics adhered only to the Bible, then there would be no church fathers, there would be no traditions, there would be no Pope. So the Holy Bible would have to come in dead last as a source of authority. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. And so we, in this age, are dealing with a church that is extremely powerful, has been extremely powerful, will again be extremely powerful. And because of their might, because of their wealth, and because of their, and I will say this, fanatical devotion to the Virgin Mary and nextly to their Pope, the Roman Catholic Church is extremely powerful and strikes fear and awe in the hearts of all who have anything to do with it or know anything about it. However, the Roman Catholic Church is not the Church of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about that. And I will cover that more in detail as we close this discussion. But first, I'd like to just tell you what prompted me to do this program. I wrote an article entitled "The Virgin Mary, the Star of the Sea." And what I did in that article was prove that the Virgin Mary, the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary, is actually the same goddess that is mentioned in the Bible in several places and called several things. But in a couple of prominent places in the Bible, we understand that this goddess was worshipped as Astarte or Ashtoreth by the apostate Jews, and also by the Canaanites and several other peoples in the Bible. They worship the same goddess as Ashtoreth, as Astarte, and other names. And the Bible says that she was worshipped with a star. She was actually worshipped with a star. And so I happened upon a particular article which actually said, and it was written by a Roman Catholic. I found it at a Roman Catholic website, and the particular article, this woman that wrote it actually said that stars were symbols for the Virgin Mary. And I was blown away when I saw that, because I had never seen that before. But when I came across this article, the article actually said that eight pointed stars were symbols for Mary, seven pointed stars were symbols for Mary, six pointed stars were symbols for Mary, and five pointed stars were symbols for Mary. And so when I saw this, then I realized that this was just proof, further proof, I should say, that the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary is actually the same goddess that is mentioned in the Bible. It's Ashtoreth, who was worshipped in the Bible with stars. And I further reasoned that if 8, 7, 6, 5 pointed stars were symbols for Mary, then all stars are symbols for Mary. And if you pay attention, you will see 3-pointed stars, you will see 4-pointed stars, you will see 12-pointed stars. I've seen these. 12-pointed stars, 13-pointed stars. It's just many, many different symbols. As a matter of fact, Walmart, if you pay attention to the symbol for Walmart, they say that it's a spark. But that's not a spark. That's a 6-pointed star. That's what it is. And you can see that star in many other places. So I wrote this article to explain that the Virgin Mary, the fact that she's worshipped with stars, is proof positive that this is the same goddess Ashtoreth that is mentioned in the Bible. She's not only called Ashtoreth, she's called many, many other things. And it's been and ultimately she's the goddess Semiramis, the wife of the great rebel Nimrod. And the Bible calls this religion, the religion that worships Nimrod and Semiramis, is called Mystery Babylon in the Bible. And so I wrote this particular article to explain this. You must understand that I have a burden for Roman Catholics because I'm married to a Roman Catholic. And she doesn't claim to be a Roman Catholic and doesn't attend Mass. And I don't know whether or not she goes to confession, but she was born and raised a Roman Catholic, and I will tell you something about Roman Catholics, having been married to a Roman Catholic now. Being married to a Roman Catholic now, and my ex-wife was actually also a Roman Catholic. So one thing I know about Roman Catholics is this, that unless they get saved and actually renounce, and when I say renounce, I mean actually confess with their mouths that Roman Catholicism is not Christianity, that the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary is not the mother of Jesus, and that the Jesus Christ of the Roman Catholic Church, this dead Jesus hanging on a cross, is in no way, shape, or form our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's just no way. And so unless a Roman Catholic comes to this knowledge and it confesses that with his mouth and believes that, you can be sure that this person is still a Roman Catholic. There are plenty of Roman Catholics who claim to have left the church and are now Christians or whatever, but they've never said that Roman Catholicism is not Christianity, that the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary is in fact an idol, that idolatry is an abomination to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never hear that come from their mouths. So for all intents and purposes, therefore, they're still Roman Catholics. So I'm married to so I have a burden for Roman Catholics having been married to two of them, and a lot of Roman Catholics in my family, a lot of friends who are Roman Catholics, a lot of in-laws who are Roman Catholics or who were raised Roman Catholics and attend a so-called evangelical church but still have Roman Catholic leanings. So Roman Catholicism for most of us is going to be somebody in our family, in most of our families, is a Roman Catholic and is in need of salvation. They don't have the truth. There's no way that they can have the truth, because there are just too many sources of doctrine for the Roman Catholic. He's getting doctrine from everywhere. Some things come from the Bible. Some things come from the Pope. Some things come from the church fathers. Some things are just flat out tradition that have no, and they don't even know where the tradition comes from. They've just been doing it for so long. They don't even know where it comes from. As a matter of fact, the fact that that the Virgin Mary is called the Star of the Sea ought to tell you something. Where do you get that word from? The Star of the Sea. Where is that coming from? It's not coming from the Bible, but this is one of the names of the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary. As a matter of fact, a lady wrote me because of this article that I wrote, The Virgin Mary, the Star of the Sea, and she said she felt compelled after reading this article. She said this article so distressed her that she felt compelled to write me and guide me into what she considered a more perfect understanding of the Virgin Mary. But just listen to that title, The Star of the Sea. That's not coming from the Bible, but the word star and the word sea are very, very, they really show you where the Virgin Mary actually comes from. Just the fact that she's called the star. Forget of the sea. For one, she's called the star. That's not in the Bible. The Virgin Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, is never called the star. But the Roman Catholic Church calls the Virgin Mary the star. Is it not ironic that also Ashtoreth in the Bible, Astarte, if you will, Ishtar, the same goddess, was worshipped with a star? Is that just merely coincidence? I submit that it's not. Now, she's called the what? The Star of the Sea. Where is that coming from? Well, the same goddess is also worshipped all over the world. She's worshipped in the Greek as Aphrodite. The same goddess is called Aphrodite. What does Aphrodite mean? It means foam-born, the foam of the sea. Because myth, legend, if you will, says that Aphrodite, the goddess Aphrodite, was actually born of sea foam. Also, if you look at the goddess Diana, who has a lot in common with the Virgin Mary, for one, she's called the goddess of the moon, and so is the Virgin Mary. Many statues of the Virgin Mary, many depictions, paintings and drawings of the Virgin Mary, you will see her standing on the moon, either a full moon or a half moon. For sure, you'll see that a lot. Where is that coming from? That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. You won't find the mother of Jesus Christ standing on the moon in the Bible. Yet, this is what the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary is depicted. This is how she's depicted. She's called the Star of the Sea. And as I said, the goddess Diana is depicted standing as the goddess of the moon and seen standing on the moon, just like the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary. As a matter of fact, the name Mary, do you know where that comes from? Where does Mary come from? Well, listen now, she's called the Star of the Sea, right? Well, the sea in Latin is Mari or Mare. The sea in Latin, which is the language of the Roman Catholic Church, is called Mari or Mare. So Mary actually means sea. There are just so many clues that the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary is actually the goddess Semiramis and every other goddess in existence. It's not even funny. But I won't go into that. This is not why I did this program. I want to address this particular Roman Catholic's letter that she wrote to me. And the reason why I want to do that is because her beliefs are pretty much standard for most Roman Catholics. I would submit that there are a lot of Roman Catholics that don't know anything about their religion. There are also some Roman Catholics that actually know that the Virgin Mary is actually a goddess. They know this. They know who she is. As a matter of fact, I visited the website of one such person, and he actually said that, you know, the Virgin Mary is actually the goddess Diana, who's been worshiped. He knows the whole history. He's satisfied with that. And so if there's one person like that, then there are very many more people like that. People who know that the Virgin Mary is actually the same goddess that's been worshiped for thousands of years and not the mother of Jesus. They know this. But there are also Roman Catholics that don't know. And I would submit that probably this lady that wrote me this letter is one of those Roman Catholics. Maybe she really believes that the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary is actually the mother of Jesus. I don't know if she was for real, if she's not for real. But her arguments are very interesting because I've heard them time and time again. But they had never been directed to me. I was always reading what someone else was saying indirectly about the Virgin Mary. It wasn't primary source is what I'm trying to say, but this lady came right out and wrote this letter to me saying the things that I'd heard other people say. Then I realized, wow, they really do believe this. This is not people talking. The things that I had heard were people were saying other folks were saying. But this is not true of this lady's letter because she wrote it directly to me using the same arguments that I have been hearing for years. So as I read this lady's letter, it became very clear to me as she tried to explain to me, as she said, guide me into a more perfect understanding of the Virgin Mary, it became very clear to me that she was actually talking about two different Marys, the biblical Mary, who is the mother of Jesus, and the Virgin Mary that Roman Catholics worship. And it's not difficult to distinguish the two. The mother of Jesus is written about in the Bible, while the Virgin Mary is a product of Roman Catholic tradition, folklore, and ancient mythology. It's just a product of things that people made up. This is absolutely true. It's not in the Bible. The things that are said about the Virgin Mary, most of the things, 99% of the things, don't even come from the Bible. Why? Because we're not told much about her in the Bible. And there's a reason for that. Jesus is the one who died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. So he is the one we ought to be focusing on, not on his mother. This is the reason why Jesus doesn't tell us a lot about his mother in the Bible. He sure could. He could have, you know. Jesus could have told us a lot about his mother, but he didn't. Why? He doesn't want us to focus on his mother. There are certain things Jesus doesn't want us to know because he knows what the devil is going to try to do with that. The devil is going to try to turn a person into an idol. This is what he's going to do. If you look in the book of Jude, you'll see the same thing. You'll see where the Bible says that Satan actually contended with Michael the archangel. The book of Jude talks about the fact that they argued, and they argued over what? They argued over the body of Moses. So what do you think is going on? I mean, they don't talk much about it. It's just a small piece in the Bible that you don't see anyplace else. Why? Why is that? Why did that happen? Well, you know that no one knows where Moses is. We know that he was buried. The Bible says that God allowed him to die. Moses wandered in the desert with the Jews, with Israel for 40 years, and was not allowed to cross over into the promised land that he had hoped all that time to see just because he hit a rock twice. Well, that was no ordinary rock that he hit. He hit Jesus Christ twice. So Satan probably wanted to take Moses' grave and let it be found. And what would people do with that? They say, oh my goodness, we found Moses' grave, and they would turn it into an idol. You know they would. There would be pilgrimages to see the tomb of Moses. And that would remind people, in other words, the law would become more important than the grace of Jesus Christ. People would be more interested in the law because they'd have Moses' body, and they would just build a big case that we ought to be living the law again. So we must understand that the Roman Catholic, when they are defending their teachings about Mary, they combine the biblical Mary with the Mary, the Virgin Mary, and which is what is written about her, which comes from folklore and tradition and ancient mythology. And so the result is essentially an unbiblical hybrid that in no way resembles the mother of our Lord Jesus. Now, this was something that I had never before considered until this lady wrote me. And so when I wrote her back and answered her questions, I tried to get her to understand that Roman Catholic teachings on Mary are actually outside the Bible. They're extra biblical, and they are therefore heretical. Now, any description of Mary or characteristics attributed to her, therefore, that cannot be found in the Bible, they therefore describe another Mary, which is why I entitled the article and actually this teaching, Two Marys. There are actually two Marys, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary. One is an ancient goddess, and the other is the mother of Jesus. One is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other is Semiramis, or Diana, or Aphrodite, or Shingmu, or Ashtoreth, or Ishtar, or Isis, Maya, whatever you want to call her, she is not the mother of Jesus. Speaking of this lady's letter, and the fact that she was so articulate and genteel in presenting her argument, and because her beliefs, no doubt, reflect the beliefs of the average Roman Catholic, I present her arguments in the article for the edification of the body of Christ. And I'm going to do the same here. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to read you her letter in its entirety. So this program, it's not going to be, it's going to be sort of long. I just want you to understand this, but it's worth it. It is really worth it for me to do this. You need to hear the lady's argument. You need to hear the things that she says so you can understand the mind of the average. And I don't know if she represents the average Roman Catholic, but to me, she represents the average Roman Catholic who has an understanding and an appreciation and a love for the Virgin Mary. It will come out in her writing that she thoroughly understands the Virgin Mary, and she appreciates what's been written and taught to her about her, and she loves her. You need to understand that. She may not necessarily represent the average Roman Catholic, because you know we have those who believe and those that don't. People who grew up Roman Catholic, just like there are Christians who grew up Christians, call themselves Christians and know nothing about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them. There are people in every religion like this. So even there are Roman Catholics also who were born and raised Roman Catholic, but have absolutely no knowledge of their own religion because they really don't care. I don't believe this lady's one of those people. Just the fact that she wrote me tells you something. She cares. But the fact that she took the time to write the way she wrote, the things that she said, the manner in which she said it, I truly appreciated this lady's letter because she taught me a lot. And I want to present her letter to you so you can understand her mind, and thus the mind of the true devotee to the Roman Catholic Virgin Mary. This is for the edification of the body of Christ. So what's going to follow right now is I'm going to read her letter for you in its entirety. Now, after I read her letter, I'm going to just take the more salient points of that letter, and I'm going to present them to you point for point and my response to each of those points, so that you can understand that because the response that I will give will come straight out of the Bible. And just so you know, I'm not going to use what's called the Protestant Bible, what Roman Catholics call the Protestant Bible, the King James Version. I'm not going to use that. I'm going to use the biblical references that I'm going to use are going to come from the Douay Rheims, which is a Roman Catholic Church sanctioned Bible. In other words, Roman Catholics are said they can go out. They want to go out and get a Bible. They can go out and get a Douay Rheims, and their priests and bishops and everybody's going to be okay with that. They won't be okay with them going out and getting a King James Bible, I assure you. But they can go out and get a Douay Rheims Bible and it'd be okay. So I decided to use a Bible that is sanctioned by Roman Catholics, because as you will see, they still point out the flaws in Roman Catholic teachings. They still will point that out. So first, I'm going to read her letter, and then I shall continue addressing her points. I'm going to quote now from her letter. I quote, "Greetings, Anthony. I have been pondering the article you wrote April 17th. I came across it while looking for information on the title of Mary as Star of the Sea. It has so distressed me, I hardly know where to begin. In returning to your site, I couldn't help but notice the article you wrote about your marriage and the difficulties you have been encountering in your mixed marriage, yourself Protestant and your wife Roman Catholic, in addition to the attacks you have felt yourself to be under by our enemy. I pray you won't be offended by the correspondence of one who is also a fellow believer and slave of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, there are so many things that are mistaken in your understanding of Mary, I feel compelled to offer some gentle remonstrance in the hope that you may be guided by the Holy Spirit and Jesus himself in a better understanding of who she is, neither idol nor a pagan goddess, but the Mother of God, and the mother of all humanity, as appointed by Jesus himself at the foot of the cross. If you subscribe to the Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura, by scripture alone, there is plenty of evidence to show that Mary is an important figure in the Bible. It would be well to stick to the Bible also, rather than reading about ancient pagan deities. How many humans can say that they are highly favored by God? Mary could. In the King James, Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 31, the angel Gabriel, God's messenger, tells her so. She being Mary, also is prefigured in Genesis as the woman who will correct the error of Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In the Dewey Rhymes translation, it is even more explicit that the King James saying, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." This is an aside for me. What she's quoting now is from the Dewey Rhymes translation of Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." The King James Bible actually says it differently. It says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. It shall crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is what the Bible says. The King James Bible says, "It shall crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There's a reason for that. And if I can remember, I'll get to that at the end of the program. I continue with her letter. Also, Genesis 3:15, this translation was released in 1609. Notice how many times in the Bible when Jesus addresses Mary, he calls her woman. It is to highlight and correlate that she is the woman in Genesis and the woman in Revelation. Quote, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, representing both the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles." My note, this is her aside from her. "And another sign was seen in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems," or diadems, "and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bring forth, that when she had brought forth, he might devour her son. And she brought forth a male child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne." Revelation, unquote. Revelations chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, partly verses 4 and 5. And she goes on, quote, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had brought forth the male child. And there was given to the woman two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place. And the dragon was angered at the woman and went away to wage war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold fast the testimony of Jesus," unquote. And then she cites Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 to 14 and verse 17. She continues, Jesus uses the same word to address Mary from the cross. Quote, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom she loved, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.'" In this passage, Jesus is indicating that Mary is to become the spiritual mother of all humanity. I want to say this again. This lady says that when Jesus, speaking from the cross, looks down and sees the disciple John with his mother, he says, "Behold, woman, behold thy son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And she takes this to mean that Jesus is indicating that Mary is to become the spiritual mother of all humanity. Now, before I continue with what she said, I want you to understand what I was saying earlier, how the Roman Catholic in his or her devotion to Mary will take any scripture and bend it, twist it in order to conform to their belief. Because where do you get that? Jesus looks down and said, "Woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother." And they take that to mean that Jesus became the spiritual mother of all humanity, when the Bible says specifically right after that the woman went to stay with John to live with him. That's all he meant. That's all Jesus meant. "From now on, I want you to take care of my mother. Mother, you look at him as a son. John, look at her as though she's your mother. I want you to go stay with him." That's it. The Bible says that. But the Roman Catholic, in his or her devotion, this particular Roman Catholic, in her devotion to Mary, to try to make her be something that she's not, took that little verse, forgot all about completely omitted the verse that comes after that, which will explain what Jesus meant, just completely omits that verse and then says, this is what it means. Mary's going to become the mother of all humanity. Do you understand that? This is what I am so used to from Roman Catholics. They will take, the Bible means nothing to them. They will quote it, but they will always do it. And think about this now. They say that the Apostle Peter is like the father of their church, okay? The Roman Catholics have something called apostolic succession. So in other words, every pope is supposed to be a descendant of the apostles. Started with Peter, went to the rest of the apostles, went down to all the popes. They're all supposed to be descendants of the original apostles. And they say Peter is the number one apostle. So this is what they believe. But Peter himself said that what false prophets will do is that they will wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. The head of their church, who they claim to be, the head of their church said this about them, that they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. What do you mean by that? They twist them to mean whatever they want them to mean, and they're doing it to their own destruction. The head of their church said this, and they are doing this. They are wresting, twisting the scriptures to their own destruction. But you cannot ever convince a Roman Catholic of this. He is just so gone that you could never convince him of this. Believe me, I've tried. You just can't do it. It's actually the Holy Spirit that has to do it. So I stopped getting frustrated a long time ago. You just give them the truth and then you walk away and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. So this lady just takes this passage and twists it completely bends it out of shape to justify the belief that Mary is the mother of all humanity when in fact she is not. Now I continue with her letter. Quote, if you reread the Revelations passage above, chapter 12, verse 17, it states the dragon was angered at the woman. And it clearly meant to be Mary who was given birth to Jesus, the salvation of the world, and went away to wage war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. That would be us Christians. Christians keep the commandment of God and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Listen to what she said now, because this is the reason why I wanted to read this letter for the body of Christ. And even Roman Catholics who might be listening to this so they can understand, so they can look within themselves and understand what they believe and how far away from the truth they really are. This lady says that Christians, she considers herself a Christian. And she said what? Christians keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. God said in Exodus chapter 4, verse 5, thou shalt, actually starts at around verse 3. But God said, thou shalt not make any graven image of anything in heaven or anything in earth or anything under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them nor worship them. He said that. God said, don't make any statues and you better not bow down to it. That's the first commandment. Well, it's actually the second commandment. Okay? But God said this. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down to those images and thou shalt not serve those images. You better look around, because if you do, you will see that the Virgin Mary is an image. The Virgin Mary is a statue, and that Roman Catholics bow down, worship, and serve this statue. So she says that Christians keep the commandments of God, yet they don't keep that commandment. They completely throw away the commandments and not to worship idols. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Ten Commandments in a Roman Catholic Bible, you will see that that commandment not to worship idols is completely taken out. And what they do is they take the Tenth Commandment, which is thou shalt not covet anything, and they divide it and take part of that and make it the Second Commandment is what they do. I won't go too far into that, but investigate that and you'll see what I'm talking about. It is because they know that they are practicing idolatry and they want to do what they're going to do. So they're going to twist the again. Listen now. Listen. They wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. They claim to follow the commandments of God, yet they take those commandments and tweak them so that they conform to their beliefs rather than adjust their beliefs so that they conform to the word of God. This is what they do. And a Roman Catholic can't argue with you about that. They will try, but what they will come up with is there's a bunch of things that people said. If you take a Roman Catholic Bible and sit it right next to the King James and you show him that this is what has been done, he's going to come up with something else. Matter of fact, good luck just getting him to sit down next to you while you prove this to him. He's not going to do it. He knows what you're about to do, and he's going to run from that. They want to do what they want to do. They're going to do what they want to do, and they're going to wrest the scriptures, unfortunately, to their own destruction. Now I continue with this lady's letter. Quote, Mary is the favorite one of God, deemed worthy to be a vessel for the Son of God, who said yes and gave herself totally to the will of God and reversed the no of Eve in order to bring salvation to humanity. And the Bible is referring to her as our mother. I'm going to stop again. Listen to what she said now. Listen to what this lady says, because it is very, very illustrative. It illustrates just what the Roman Catholics actually believe, but they won't tell you this, see? But listen to what she said. Quote, Mary is the favorite one of God, deemed worthy to be a vessel for the Son of God, who said yes and gave herself totally to the will of God and reversed the no of Eve. Listen to this now. In order to bring salvation to humanity. They believe, really now, they will not tell you this, but if you read their writings, you will understand this very quickly. They believe that the Virgin Mary actually is the one who saved humanity and not the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, they consider the Virgin Mary, they call her the co-redemptress. The co-redemptrix, okay? The mediatrix, they also call her that. They call her the co-redeemer of Jesus Christ. Co-redeemer now. They call her the co-redeemer of Jesus Christ. How does the Bible say that Jesus redeemed us? The Bible says that Jesus redeemed us through his blood. Nowhere do you read in the Bible that Mary shed her blood for us. But the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us to God through his blood. That's how he redeemed us. Mary didn't bleed. Nowhere do I read that Mary was hung on a cross, nailed to a cross, and bled for us. How do Roman Catholics believe that Mary also redeemed us? They believe that while Jesus was in pain and suffering, she also suffered. And they said that seven swords of grief were plunged into her heart. Nowhere do you see that in the Bible, but Roman Catholics believe this. Believe me, I know. They believe this, that seven swords of grief were plunged into her heart as she saw her son dying on the cross. That's not even in the Bible. So they believe that she suffered so much now. They believe, to think about this, to call her the co-redeemer, they have to believe that she suffered as much. And they don't only believe that she suffered as much, they also believe she suffered more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you believe this? And I'm not making this up. You better do some research so you can know what Roman Catholics really believe. Because once you know what they believe, once you know what they really believe, you're going to have a decision. You either just say, I don't want to have anything to do with that, or you're going to have a burden for them like I have a burden for them. Because they're believing something that's totally, and believe me, it's the definition of the word fantastic. What they believe is fantastic. It's not even in the Bible. So when you know what they believe, then you have a decision. I made my decision. I'm going to witness to them. It doesn't matter what happens to me. They need to know the truth. Somebody's got to give it to them. I've already decided that that's exactly what I'm going to do until the Lord Jesus Christ brings me home. Because they are being deceived like nobody's business. So the Roman Catholic believes that the Virgin Mary actually brought salvation to mankind, that she is the co-redeemer along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that as I continue with this letter. her offspring who keep the commandments of God. She's speaking about the Christian church. Not only that, she is the new Ark of the Covenant. They call Mary the new Ark of the Covenant. They call Mary now the new Ark of the Covenant. Can't you see they're placing her in the place of Jesus Christ? That's exactly what they're doing. The Bible doesn't call Jesus the new Ark of the Covenant, but the Bible does call Jesus a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Remember, priests are only in the Old Testament. The New Testament church does not have any priests at all. Why? Because the priest was what? The mediator between God and man. Think about this now. The priest now was the mediator between God and man. He stood in the Holy of Holies. And once a year, he offered blood. The Bible says that the priest entered into the Holy of Holies and not without blood. He went into the Holy of Holies and offered blood for the sins of Israel. But what does the Bible say? There is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ is the only mediator. And if he's the only mediator, then he is our only high priest now. The Bible says that about him. That we have a new high priest that is ascended into the heavens. That's what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. So he is the new Ark of the Covenant. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is the new Holy of Holies. If the priest in the Old Testament used to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer blood for the sins of the people, which Holy of Holies has been done away with in Jesus Christ, then Jesus should be the new Ark of the Covenant, because Jesus has an eternal priesthood. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is the new Ark of the Covenant. Yet this lady believes that Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant, the new Holy of Holies. Think about this now. I continue. Quote, what else could her womb be where the man God dwelt for 9 months prior to birth? It is not possible for these passages to be translated any other way and retain sense. Can you understand what she just said? That all the passages she just gave can only be translated in the way she gave. The way she translated these passages is the only way that makes sense. Really now? What is she saying then? Because these things are not in the Bible. She is saying that the Bible does not make any sense because the Bible does not agree with what she said. And notice that while she's saying all this, she's not quoting the Douay Rheims. She does not give one verse that says that Mary is the Ark of the Covenant, the new Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies. So this is coming from where? It's coming out of her mouth, not out of the Bible, not even out of her version of the Bible. Do you understand? She can't quote it because it's not even in her. Jesus Christ will not allow for the word of God to be so altered that it doesn't even resemble the word of God anymore. He's not going to do it. So you're not going to find Mary being called the new Ark of the Covenant, the new Holy of Holies, either in the Roman Catholic, definitely not in the Protestant King James Bible, and not even in a Roman Catholic Bible such as the Douay Rheims. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So this is coming out of her mouth. This is tradition. And what does the Bible say about tradition? Jesus Christ said that through their traditions, the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect. And I submit to you that the Roman Catholic does the same thing. With his tradition, he makes the word of God to not affect. Do you think I'm just making that up? Well, listen, I'll say this again. She said that it is impossible for the passages of the Bible to be translated in any other way than she says and retain sense. So what is she saying? That the word of God, since it doesn't agree with what she says, doesn't make sense. Again, she is taking the word of God and making it to non-effect through what? Roman Catholic traditions. I continue with this lady's letter. Quote, Mary was also the first and best disciple. I'm not going to even stop with that one, but we all know that this is just not true. Mary was not the first disciple. The Bible teaches us who the first disciple was. It was Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. They were the first disciples. But they say here that Mary was the first and also the best disciple. I continue. She always knew her son was the Son of God and was always faithful to his will. This is highlighted in the scene of the wedding at Cana, where Jesus also addresses her as woman, and has frequently been misinterpreted by Protestants to mean he held her in little esteem. Now, I'm going to stop right there. The Protestant church never teaches. Christians do not teach that Jesus, in addressing his mother as woman, meant that he held her in little esteem. What Jesus was doing was saying, because he even says it, woman, what has this to do with you? What has thou to do with me? What he meant to say was, and he said, my time is not yet come. What was he saying? Because she was giving him orders, is what she was doing. She was coming. Mary came up to Jesus and said, listen, they don't have any wine. You know, I need you to give them some more wine. And Jesus looked at her and said, what do you have to do with this? In other words, why are you coming to me? Why did Jesus say this? Because even in this is a prefigure of the Roman Catholic Church. Let me tell you why. Roman Catholics believe that they must go to Mary with their prayers and they'll get heard by God. So they get heard by Jesus, rather. So who is God? So they make Mary the intermediator between God and man. When the Bible says that the only mediator between God and man is the man Christ Jesus. This prefigures this, because here Mary is, because the people didn't go to Mary. I mean, to Jesus Christ. They went to Mary and said, go ask your son. And Jesus is like, what do you have to do with this? My time is not yet come. In other words, I'm not even dead yet. And you're already trying to be the mediator? What do you have to do with this? I mean, this is what they're trying to say. Doesn't mean that he was holding his mother in little esteem. He was saying, in other words, listen, I'm not even dead yet. They're going to do this to you when I'm dead. But let them wait until I die before they start coming to you and asking you to ask me things. I'm here right now. If they want something, let them come to me. But because this was his mother, he went on ahead and did what she asked him to do. So they take that to mean that he was already obeying his mother. No, he wasn't. Because if he was, when his mother said to him, they need wine, Jesus would have said, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay? So he wasn't disobeying his mother, and he wasn't obeying her at the same time, because he would have said, yes, mother. But he didn't either. What did Jesus do? He told her what was on his mind, and he did it out of love for his mother. And because he wanted them to know that he was who he said he was. Because what they were asking him to do was perform a miracle. Jesus didn't mind doing that, because he wanted them to know that he was, in fact, the Messiah, the Son of God. But what he was saying was, I don't do requests like this, okay? They don't need to be coming to you and then you coming to me. They need to come straight to me. I'm not even dead yet. My time has not even yet come, and people are already going to you asking you to get me to do things. I don't like this. This is what Jesus Christ was saying. So we don't teach that Jesus Christ held his mother in little esteem. It was because he knew what they were going to do as soon as he died, and he was saying, listen, I'm not even dead yet. You want something? Come to me. But listen to what she says. Again, she is resting the scriptures to her own destruction. I continue. Does it seem likely that Jesus would treat his own mother with a lack of respect? No, it does not seem likely. This is me talking. Again, I continue. A human highly favored by God? That wouldn't be Christian for a human to do. And God doesn't break his own rules. Where she tells the servant, do whatever he tells you to do. In the King James Version, it reads, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mary is not only telling those wedding servants to do what her son tells them to do. She is telling us how to be good Christians. Do whatever he tells you to do. She also shares his pain and sorrow on the way to the cross and during his crucifixion. Listen to that now. Didn't I tell you that? I told you this is what they believe, that she shared his pain and sorrow. Let me tell you something. If you hammer nails in my hand, and then you start crying, believe you me, you're not sharing my sorrow. You're not sharing anything. I don't know what you're feeling, because the only nails being driven are being driven in my hands. okay? If somebody runs, if somebody shoots me or anything, and then you start crying, you're not sharing my pain. You have your own pain at seeing me in pain, but you're not sharing my pain. Why? You don't have a bullet in you. You don't have a nail in you. So no, Mary was not sharing in his pain. She could not be sharing in his pain. You cannot know the pain of a nail being driven in your hand unless the nail is driven in your hand. You can look at me and cry. We can look at Jesus and cry and say, oh my goodness, that had to hurt. But we can't share his pain because only he is having nails driven in his hands and in his feet. You must understand this. I continue. She also shared his pain and sorrow on the way of the cross and during his crucifixion. Again, she's saying he is sharing, that Mary shared Jesus Christ's pain during his crucifixion. Only Jesus had his hands nailed to that cross and his feet nailed to that cross. Only Jesus could not breathe, because when you're hanging there, the people that die there don't die from pain. They don't die from loss of blood. They die from asphyxiation because they can't breathe. Because of the way they're hanging like that, their head hangs down, their chest hangs down, and they literally suffocate to death. You don't know what suffocation is like unless you've been suffocated. So how can you possibly share in the pain and suffering of somebody going through something like that? Jesus was suffering pain on many levels. How can you, just watching something like that, how can you even relate to that? You cannot, I submit, relate to that. So no, Mary was not suffering and sharing in pain and Jesus' pain and sorrow. I'm sorry. She just wasn't. I continue with this letter. Quote, only one disciple was present. The rest were frightened of the Jews and Romans and hid themselves away. Mary, his mother and faithful disciple, was present for the horrendous sorrow of seeing her sinless son spit upon, jeered at, bleeding, beaten, carrying the cross heavy with our sins, to finally be killed before her eyes by nailing him to a tree. What mother could watch this without being pierced through her own heart? Mary is united to the suffering of Jesus by being present with him, participating in his sufferings as only a devoted mother could, and united in his thirst to save human souls from the pit. And she puts in quotations, Gehenna. That's another thing, because they say that it's not hell. They call it Gehenna. So she's also voicing another opinion that she doesn't believe in a literal hell, because she would have put in quotations hell, but she calls it Gehenna. That's again lets you know how they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. I continue. Given this, it is small wonder that the enemy of all human salvation, the father of lies, would desire to sever all knowledge and ties to Mary. The mediatrix, again, didn't I tell you they call her that? The mediatrix. In other words, they're saying she's the mediator like Jesus Christ is. Already defying scripture, which says that there is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Again, twisting, wresting scriptures to her own destruction. The mediatrix, to whom it has been promised to assist Jesus, is in finally crushing the enemy forever. Another false belief that God promised that Mary would assist Jesus in finally crushing the enemy forever. When the person that's crushing the enemy, Satan, is actually the Christian church. Okay? Remember, Genesis 3:15 says, it shall crush thy head. It doesn't say him, it says it. And if you look later in the Bible, in the New Testament, Paul tells the Christian church what? That Satan's head will be crushed by you in a short time. In other words, it's the Christian church who is going to crush Satan's head through Jesus Christ. Not Mary. The Christian church will crush the serpent's head through Jesus Christ. This is why it says, it shall crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, you're going to bruise Jesus' heel. You're not going to crush his heel. You're not going to crush his head. He's going to come back. But you're going to give him a cut on his heel. And afterwards, the Christian church shall bruise thy head. But they take this and totally twist it to their own destruction in order to elevate Mary over the Lord Jesus Christ. I continue. A great martyred saint of the 20th century, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, stated it this way, quote, "Never be afraid of loving the Blessed Virgin Mary too much. You can never love her more than Jesus did. If anyone does not wish to have Mary immaculate for his mother, he will not have Christ for his brother," unquote. Really? This is, again, is for me. Really? What does the Bible tells us? What is the Bible? The Bible doesn't say anything. The Bible doesn't say anything like that. That if you don't have Mary for your mother, you will not have Christ for your brother. The Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible does say in 1 John chapter 2 that whoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. This is what the Bible says. So listen now. Listen, she quotes Saint Maximilian Kolbe, a great martyred saint of the 20th century, who said that if you do not wish to have Mary Immaculate for your mother, you will not have Christ for your brother. I tell you, I'm telling you, they take the writings of people, mere men, who are not even Christian men. They take the writings of these people and use that for their doctrine, because the Bible does not say anything like that. The Bible doesn't even mention Mary and accepting her as their mother. It doesn't even mention that. The Bible says, however, in 1 John chapter 2, that he who denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. In other words, if you don't have Jesus, then you can forget about having God the Father. Yet they believe that if you don't have Mary, then you can't have Jesus. Can you believe that? Again, they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. Now I continue. You mentioned in your most recent article some of the travails you have experienced with your Roman Catholic wife and how this has affected both you and your children. You mentioned how you feel yourself to be under attack by our enemy. Perhaps it is time for you to re-examine what has been occurring in light of the words of a member of the Sanhedrin when faced with the resurgence of Christ's teachings via Paul, Peter, and the apostles. Quote, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for it is this council of," pardon me, I'll repeat this again. "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this council or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God," unquote. Acts chapter 5, verses 38 to 39 of the King James Version. I don't even know why she mentioned that, but I think what she's trying to say is that fighting against the Roman Catholic Church is futile. I don't really know why she mentioned that, because she mentioned that at the same time she mentioned how me and my wife have problems because, as I said, she was raised a Roman Catholic. Again, I mean, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm just not enlightened enough to be able to figure this out. But again, to me, it looks as though she, again, wrests scripture to her own destruction, because she applies this scripture to my situation with my wife, and it doesn't even apply. But that just, again, just taking scripture and completely twisting it to pieces to justify a false belief. I continue with a letter, and I'm almost done. "This may be hard to hear, friend, but if your zeal for your vision of faith is putting enmity between you and your wife and bringing sadness to your children, then it cannot be of God. For all that is of God brings peace, wholeness, harmony, and love. I have given up my own rest in order to bring this to you. I leave you with an old prayer. Judge for yourself if it seems out of place with Christian teaching." Oh, I can't wait to do that, because it will be out of place with Christian teaching. This is the prayer that she writes, and it's entitled Ave Maria Stella. And this is a well-known prayer in the Roman Catholic Church. Listen to this prayer, because believe me, I don't have to judge for myself if it's out of place with Christian teaching. It will judge itself as being out of place with Christian teaching. I quote the prayer. Quote, Hail, bright star of ocean, God's own mother, blessed, ever sinless virgin, gate of heavenly rest. Taking that sweet Ave which from Gabriel came, peace confirm with us within us, changing Eva's name. Break the captive's fethers, light on blindness pour, all our ills expelling, every bliss implore. Show thyself a mother, may the word divine, born for us thine infant, hear our prayers through thine. Virgin all excelling, mildest of the mild, freed from guilt, preserve us pure and undefiled. Keep our life all spotless, make our way secure, till we find in Jesus joy forevermore. Through the highest heaven to the immortal three, Father, Son, and Spirit, one same glory be. Amen. Now that's I will admit, that's a beautiful prayer, but it's not Christian. I will say this again. That is a beautiful poem. It's not a prayer. It's a poem. It's beautiful, I will admit, but it is not Christian. It does not conform to the Bible, and I'll tell you how. One, they call a bright star of ocean. They say God's own mother blessed, not Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus is God. We know this, but nowhere is Mary called the mother of God. She is the mother of Jesus Christ, but they call her the mother of God. I'm going to talk about this later so you can see how just this belief that she is the mother of God is so blasphemous, it's not even funny. God has no mother. Matter of fact, the Bible says of Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, because he has, as he is a priest forever of the order of Melchizedek, that he is what? Without mother, without father. I mean, so Jesus Christ, think about it now. Jesus as a human being had a mother, but Jesus Christ as God Almighty has no mother. He is without mother. The Bible says this, but they call her what? God's own mother. Do you understand how they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction? I'll keep going. They say Mary breaks the captive's fethers. Really? Fetters, I should say. No, she does not. Jesus Christ does this. Not mothers. That's not even in the Bible. That's not even through the Bible. Listen to this now. Show thyself a mother, may the word divine, born for us thine infant. Listen to this now. Hear our prayers through thine. That's making her a intermediary again. That's making her a mediator again. Because what is this? The prayer says, hear our prayers through thine. So they're saying for the Lord Jesus Christ to hear our prayers through Mary. Again, the Bible says there is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, not the woman Mary, the man Christ Jesus. So again, out of step with scripture. Now listen to this. I'm not going to go through all this again, point for point, but this is one last thing that I want to say. Listen to this now. They call her what? Virgin all excelling. Again, I'm going to repeat this. They call her virgin all excelling. They say she excels all. By all, they mean Jesus Christ, God the Father. Do you understand? Because all means just that, all. If she excels all, then she also excels the Godhead. And they really, in truth, they believe this. They really do. If you look at a lot of statues of the Virgin Mary and what they call the baby Jesus, you will see the Virgin Mary with a crown on her head and Jesus Christ with nothing. Matter of fact, Jesus is always naked. I have not seen one statue of the Virgin Mary and Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is wearing clothes. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying I haven't seen it. And every statue that I've ever seen of Jesus Christ with Mary, Jesus is naked and has no crown, and Mary has a crown and she's got her clothes on. In a couple of statues I've seen, Jesus Christ has a small crown, but Mary's crown is always bigger. What do they say? She exceeds Jesus Christ. He should have a huge crown on his head. And even if it looked ridiculous, it would illustrate the point that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he is King of Kings, then he is also King of Queens. Think about this now. If Jesus Christ is King of Kings, then he is King of Queens, because the King is always over the Queen. Do you understand? In order for you to make the Queen the Most High, you got to make the King, who would be the King, a Prince. And we see this in England, where you have Queen Elizabeth there, and her husband is a prince. Do you understand? He's not a king. He's a prince. Why? Because the king is always higher than the queen. And so in order to make her more important, she has to be a queen and he has to be a prince. But Jesus cannot be, he is a prince now, but he is the king also. He's king of kings. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. But he is also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, if he's a king, then he's over any queen. But the Bible never tells us that there is a queen. So in order to make her the most high, to make her all excelling, they have to give her a crown and him no crown. Or her a big crown and him a small crown. They have to put clothes on her and have him be naked. You have to look at all this and think when you see these things. So they really think that the Virgin Mary really does excel all. And if you think about it, they'd have to believe this, because if they didn't and they really believed that Jesus was over all, then they'd have to obey him. And when he says God only is Lord, and when he says thou shalt have no other gods before me, and when he says make no graven images of anything in heaven, earth, or on earth, or under the earth, or wherever, you'd have to obey that. And if you obeyed that, then there can be no Mary. And if there was no Mary, then there would be no Roman Catholic Church. Without any Roman Catholic Church, there'd be no Roman Catholic religion. So Mary has to come first, because if you put Jesus first, you'd have to erase everything else. So this prayer, this poem, makes total sense if you believe that Mary is everything and Jesus is nothing. Now, she goes on to recommend some books that she thinks would make me believe, accept the teaching that that Mary is everything. And one of them is called Hail Holy Queen, the Mother of God in the Word of God, by a man named Scott Hahn. And she puts in quotations a former Protestant minister. Why is she recommending this particular book? Because he was supposedly a former Protestant converted to Roman Catholicism. In other words, he woke up and he saw the light. He didn't actually see the light, because the Bible in 1 John chapter 2 says that certain Christians, what? They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, then they would have remained with us. But they went out, that it may be made manifest that they were not all of us. So those who leave the Christian faith and become Roman Catholics or whatever, they were never Christians to begin with. And the Bible even says that in the book of Hebrews, that once you have tasted of the good, once you've tasted Christianity, you can't leave it once you know it. In other words, it says once you start to backslide, there's no way that you can be baptized again to repentance. In other words, once you leave the faith, you're not coming back. Because once you really know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't leave. So if you left, you never knew him. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. Once you really taste of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, taste the Lord that he is good. Once you taste the Lord Jesus Christ, man, you can't go anyplace else. You'll never leave. If you left, you never was a Christian in the beginning. This is only the truth. So she closes this letter in this fashion, quote, with love and peace in Christ and all prayers for your salvation and that of your whole family, because no one gets to heaven without a battle, unquote. Amen. Amen. You're going to have a battle. She's right, but she's losing the battle. She's, as a matter of fact, she's already lost the battle. She stays this way because she actually goes against the word of God. And I tell you, every conversation that I've had with a Roman Catholic has been of this sort. They take the scripture and they wrest it completely to their own destruction. And it's actually pretty sad when you see it, because if Roman Catholics had as much zeal for the Virgin Mary as they do, I'm sorry, for the Lord Jesus Christ as they do for the Virgin Mary, man, I tell you, the world would be a completely different place. It would. If Roman Catholics believe the Jesus of the Bible, can you imagine taking that zeal that they have, that love that they have for Mary, and put that love on the Lord Jesus and no one else? Can you imagine what the world would be like? It would be completely different. This is why I do what I do. This is why I do what I do. Because compared to most Christians, Roman Catholics, please, they're more serious. And I hate to say it, but it's true. The average Roman Catholic is more zealous for Mary than we are for Jesus. If you take a Roman Catholic and teach him the truth, so that he will take that zeal for Mary and use it for Jesus and to win souls for the true kingdom of heaven, can you imagine what he could do? Can you imagine? I can't even imagine, but I want to see it. I want to see a Roman Catholic take that zeal and use it to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to do damage, man. He's going to do damage because he's not playing. So this is why I do what I do, to bring the Roman Catholic the truth, because he needs to know the truth. Now, I've already gone over, because I told you I was going to read the letter that she wrote me, and then I was going to take the more salient points of that letter, and I was going to address them point for point, and that my response would give the biblical position on that particular belief that this Roman Catholic woman has, and show that it is in fact unbiblical. But I can't do that now, because I've already gone over an hour. I don't want to have you sitting here for 2 hours listening to this. What I'm going to do, therefore, is I'm going to make a part two to this particular teaching, Two Marys. And in the second half, I am going to address her points one by one, and I'm going to give the biblical response to them. So please tune in to part two of Two Marys. Thank you, saints, for joining us again for the Gospel Light and Truth Hour. And until next time, be encouraged and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.